38. That I may know him. Our object in sharing these truths of the word is that we may be turned from all that God condemned to a deep personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truth can be very impersonal and ineffective if its ultimate purpose is not realized. What we need is the Spirit's application of the full-orbed work of the cross. This will enable us to avoid the sin within and without, and to give our complete attention and love to the Lord Jesus. Anything short of this will satisfy neither him nor the hungry heart. We must remember that it is by learning to know the Lord Jesus that we know the Father. Have I been such a long time with you, and ye hast not known me, he said? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. John chapter 14, verses 9 and 11. We are not to know the Lord Jesus in order to emulate him as our example. Rather, we are to behold him in the Word and allow the Spirit of God to conform us to his image. Not imitation, but conformation. If we flounder in the old man and pay attention to his clamourings, the hateful works of the flesh will inevitably be manifested for all to see and suffer from. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Learn of me," in Matthew 11:29. His infinite glory must not discourage us from pursuing our privilege of knowing him intimately. His divine majesty is unfolded in order to display his divine mercy. To encourage the reader's further study, let us behold him from several different viewpoints. First, let us view him and his life as Creator. The Word sets forth Christ as he was prior to his humiliation here on earth, in the glory that he had with his Father before the world was. We see this in John 17, verse 5. There he is seen as the Creator in one aspect of his life. God does nothing directly, but all through his Son and by his Spirit. That is why it was in the Lord Jesus that he created us anew. For by him, for by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1 verse 6. Thus we can come to know him as Creator. Next, we can know him in his life on earth. The fruit of the Spirit is developed in us as we behold him in his earthly walk and work. For actual growth, there is to be an entering into his life via the Word, feeding on him, appropriating him. First, consider the Lord Jesus as he lovingly shares his life with the up-and-out religious leader Nicodemus and the down-and-out woman of Samaria. Listen closely to him. Observe his tender concern for these individuals who represent the extremities of this spectrum of human need. Oh, note how faithfully and effectively he applies the truth of their hungry hearts, not by method, but by nature. A ministry of life. Study John chapter 2. Verses 23 to chapter 3, verse 21. And study chapter 4, verse 5 to 26. Secondly, pay close attention to him as he calls his first four disciples. And especially note the way that he ministers to Peter. Oh, study Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Spend time with him as he shares and applies his wonderful parables by the sea. Study Matthew 13, 1 to 58. And enter into his restful attitude as he in turn gives rest to the tossing tempest and the tempest tossed. Study Mark 4, 35 to chapter 4, verse 1. Third, stand with him as he commissions the 12. Observe him. Listen to what he shares with them. Study Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to chapter 11, verse 1. All of this teaches us who he is and what he is like. Feed on him as he feeds the 4,000 and hear him reveal himself as the bread of life. Study Mark 8, verses 1 to 9, and John 6, 22 to chapter 7, verse 1. And fourth, how touchingly his character is depicted in his parable of the Good Samaritan. Study Luke 10, 25 to 37. And nowhere is he more explicitly manifested to us than in his fellowship in the Bethany home. Oh, study Luke 10, 38 to 42, and John 11, 1 to 46. And what of his humble and yet majestic service to the 12 during the Last Supper? How his love is drawn out to him there. Study Luke 22, 7 to 30. Oh, these are but a few of the specific instances in the Word by which we can come to know him more intimately. And thus we realise something of the life the Holy Spirit is developing within our hungry hearts. And then look at his life in glory. The Holy Spirit doesn't limit us to the earthly, nor to the earthly life of the Lord Jesus. Knowing him in his humility is preparation for knowing him in his glory. Remember the Lord Jesus' prayer, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. John 17, 24. We are to behold him as he was and know him as he is, so that we may be like him here and now. We come to know him as he is from the vantage point of our position in him at the Father's right hand, and this ever by means of the Word. Our Father hath raised us up together with him and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2 verse 6. By intelligent and confident faith, we are to abide above in our life source. We read in Colossians 1, verses 1 to 3, the following. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. As we behold his glory there, we are conformed to his humility here, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 11. Abide above to grow below. The Lord Jesus set the pattern. He that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. John 3:13. It is true that the source of our Christian life is in His glory, but that aspect of our lives will not be revealed until His appearing. The glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, says Jesus, in John 17:22. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3:4. First, humility. Then, glory. First, the cross. Then, the crown. Is it not worth waiting for? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8:17-19. Oh, what a comfort as we study to know Him better in His glory, to be assured that the Father will honour Paul's faithful intercession on behalf of each of us, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1:17-18. Ask yourself the question, whose inheritance? The inheritance of the saints. And we look at His life as ruler and sustainer. For not only did our Lord Jesus create and redeem, but He ever upholds that which is His. Not only is He the sustainer of the universe that He created, but He also coordinates and directs all within the realm and to the consummation of His Father's eternal purposes, and that includes each of His own. We read in Hebrews 1:1-3 the following. God hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He hath Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The late Dr. William Graham Scroggie made this observation that gives us further reason for rejoicing in the Lord Jesus and having no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:3 as follows. He said, our understanding of nature and our interpretation of history are both partial and faulty. Yet, if we are Christians at all, we must believe that back of the both of them is the divine thinker, the infinite wisdom, the almighty power, who is the Son of God, our Redeemer, and our life. Things have not been started and then left to run on their own material or moral momentum, but all things are under the constant control of the divine Creator, in whom all things have their centre of unity, who appoints to everything its place, who determines the relations of things to one another, and who combines all into an ordered whole so that the universe is a cosmos and not chaos. It is not law ultimately which rules this universe, but God, our Father, and He rules it through His Son, our Saviour, Human history is not in the grip of fate, but is in the hands of him who was pierced for us on Calvary. And finally, we look at his life, our ground of growth. The ground of the first Adam is that into which we were born and in which we grew. It is there that the world, the flesh, and the devil would keep us bondage. It is the ground of carnality, of sin and death, off limits to the new creation in Christ. The ground of the last Adam is that into which we have been reborn and are to abide. It is there that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would have us grow and mature. It is the ground of spirituality, righteousness, and life. The Father's one abiding place for the believer. As we take our rightful stand on the resurrection side of the cross, setting our minds and hearts on the Lord Jesus via the Word, the Holy Spirit will establish us in him above. On that ground of growth, we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and for ever. Amen. 2 Peter 3, verse 18.